This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. We love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. You know our phone lines are open for you, and I want to give you a toll-free number to use if you're in North America. Matt Gabinski is our call screener. Be sure to say hello to him when you call in. He'll say hello back, and most importantly, he will get your name and where you're calling from and how you're hearing us and what your question is, and he'll put it up on the board and we'll be able to address it. That toll-free number for you right here in North America is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also want to invite you to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you can use the chat feature there to put your question or comment in, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and our producer, as well as social media manager, Jeff Burson, will grab it for us, and he'll get it up on the board, and I'll be able to address what's on your mind today. We're always eager to hear from you, and as I like to say, don't delay, call right away, you know, don't be shy, give it a try. It is Wednesday. That means that Sue Brinkman is with us. This is the day that we talk about all kinds of wacky things going on in our world today. And you know, it's a funny thing. We never run out of conversation. We never run out of things to talk about. We never run out of topics because there's so much that's going on today. And the ability to discern that which is true and that which is false, you know, that which is good, that which is evil, continues to be blurred today because of all of the isms that we as a culture subscribe to, the ism of scientism, the ism of relativism, the ism of materialism, right? The ism of atheism, you know, just all kinds, secularism, humanism. We could just go on with all of the isms, right? But there's only one way that we can discern the truth from the falsehood, and that is through Catholicism. Catholicism, the beautiful faith that is ours through the church that our Lord Jesus Christ founded. And so we look through the prism of our faith at all of these various kinds of influences that are in our midst and all of the various kinds of temptations that arise because of them. And we have the ability to protect ourselves and to protect our families. And to that end, I certainly want to invite you to join us at Malvern Retreat House outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, coming up sooner than later. You know, here we are. It's the day before the last day of June, right? And then we're into July on Friday. And that begins the month when we are going to be holding these two beautiful events at Malvern Retreat House. The first one beginning on July 21st, which is a Thursday, starts at 9 a.m. in the morning, and it's going to run through the afternoon of the next day, which is July 22nd, Friday. And we are going to be talking about spiritual realities, what the contemporary Catholic woman needs to know. A very important topic today so that you can take home with you the strategies and the tools that you need to have to be able to discern for yourself what is good, what is evil, you know, when you should say yes and when you should say no, and to guide your family and your friends, your loved ones, your coworkers into the path of truth that leads to all fulfillment, you know, that leads to all happiness, that helps for us to understand who we are, who God is, that we're not the same thing, but to help us to see that in that beautiful relationship between ourselves and God lies the capacity, the grace, the talents, and the gifts to be able to make our pilgrim way to life on high at Christ Jesus when we draw our last breath. And this is very important based on all of the isms that we have going on in the world today. And we've got two excellent speakers that are going to be coming and speaking to you. That's a little self-aggrandizing, I got to say, because I'm one of them. But you can put that one into a box and hide it away somewhere. I'm not a great speaker. But I have lots to say. That's for darn sure. I have a lot to share, and I'm going to be sharing with you. But mostly, Father Jose Francisco Sequilla, the chief exorcist of the Archdiocese of Manila in the Philippines, is coming all the way from the Philippines just to talk to you. Yes, and he's going to give us his insights on spiritual realities, you know, separating that truth from the darkness, etc. So we certainly want for you to come and join us on July 21 through the afternoon of the 22nd for our Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Following that, beginning with dinner on Friday night, running through Friday evening on into Saturday, closing the day out with a healing service in the evening, then back at it on Sunday morning for a final talk and a beautiful liturgy, is our Women of Grace retreat. It's an annual retreat, and we have been holding it at Malvern for many years now. The only interruption that we had were the last 2 years because of COVID, and we are eager. You know, I've got my PF flyers on. I'm ready to run to Malvern to have this opportunity to be with all of you. We're continuing a similar theme, but not the same theme for that particular retreat. It's called Smiting Serpents, Battle Strategies for Catholic Women. And here we're going to learn about those strategies that we can employ when we come up against powers and principalities, the rulers of this world of darkness. We may even learn strategies for how it is that we present the truth to others in a non-confrontational, but nonetheless non-diluted way. And that can be a pesky little line to travel, a very thin thread, you know, that we have to walk in order to be able to do that. But it is not an impossibility. And so there we're going to be, as I mentioned to you, beginning on Friday evening with dinner and running through Sunday up until about noon. We have got a tremendous roster of speakers. They're going to be sharing with you. Again, Father Jose Francisco Sequilla is going to be with us. We're going to have Kathleen Beckman with us. She is the Diocesan Administrator of Exorcism and Deliverance Ministry in her Diocese of Orange in California. Adam Bly is going to be with us. He's the paratus, which is a Latin word for expert of religious demonology and exorcism, and he is from the Diocese of Pittsburgh. In addition to that, we're going to have our own Sue Brinkman, who is with us today. She is going to be speaking to us about the realities of the New Age. She is the author of many books, one of which is the Learn to Discern Compendium, Is It Christian or New Age? And you can find, discover, just from that roster of speakers, how the excellent quality of what this retreat is going to be about. And we don't want you to miss it. It's very important that you attend this retreat. It really is. I think that it's important for all of us to be trained up in these dynamics that help for us to ferret out in the midst of the many messages that are coming to us, you know, that which is compatible with the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, and that which is not. And the unfortunate reality is, it is in very few venues that you have this opportunity. You know, we don't hear about these things at the Holy Sacrifice or the Mass most typically. We don't hear about them, in the general context of our faith in Christ. But it's all there for us. But people have to open up the box and present it so that we can learn from it. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing. So I want you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. You're going to see advertisements for these two events. Click on them. It'll tell you who's speaking, give you a sense of the schedule, tell you a little bit about the talk titles, but you'll be most importantly able to register right there. So we don't want you to delay. I know, you know, we're famous at putting things off. Oh, I never know what's going to happen. Well, you know what? This won't happen if you don't allow yourself to take advantage of the opportunity. We don't want to have to say no to you because we're all full up. The sooner you call in and register, the better off you're going to be. So get out there to womenofgrace.com. When we come back, Sue Brinkman's with us, 833-288-EWTN. Stay tuned. Well, there you have it, friends. That is our Wacky Wednesday music. It lets you know that we talk about all kinds of strange and sometimes, topics that can be frightening until you examine them and figure out that you've got the power in our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, to overcome all of them. Sue Brinkman is with us. Sue is our researcher for our New Age right here at Women of Grace. And I want to encourage you to get out there and to take a look at the blog. You will see the blogs on the homepage there. You'll see blog, and then next to it, you'll see the words New Age Q&A. If you click on that, that takes you straight out there. And all of the blogs that Sue has written are archived for you there. In addition to all of that, we've got something really exciting. If you go out to our website once again and you take a look at the navigational bar, you'll see the word library on it. If you click on library, it's going to open up and it's going to show you categories of different things that we've got reserved for you in that library, one of which are podcasts that Sue has done, and it's called Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness. And we have, I don't know, several, I know it's well over 30 at this point in time, I believe, podcasts up there for you on a variety of topics. They're short, they're sweet, they're succinct, but they are very, very informative. So you can grab like a nugget of wisdom about various kinds of New Age modalities and practices right there at our website. So, you know, again, I want to encourage you, allow yourself to become educated in this so you can make a decision regarding that which is good for you and that which is not good for you. And we can talk about it every week, but we want to make you aware of the fact that we've got resources that you can go and you can continue to find out more about it right there at our website. So I'm encouraging you to get out there. It's womenofgrace.com, easy breezy. Good morning to you, Sue.
Oh, good morning to you. We have 45. As of today, we're going to have 45.
Gee, I'll tell you, you just keep cranking these out, and it's so great, and I'm so glad because, as I said, you know, these are nuggets of wisdom. You know, they really are, and you give us in a very short period of time. I don't think there's any in there over, what, 5 or 7 minutes? I mean, these are short.
6 minutes. 6 minutes is about the maximum for each of them, and they're short. Then they get right to the point. So if
yeah.
you want to know
mm-hmm.
what it is, just click on that podcast, and it's just going to give you all the facts about it. So I'm being a reporter.
Yes.
I'm being one of those annoying reporters in there, and I'm just kind of feeding you the facts,
yeah.
Letting you know what it is and what the church has to say about it. So check
yeah,
it out.
And it's very important, and it's very important to know. And the fact of the matter is, I just want to say this. If there's any pastor listening today, any deacon listening today, any DRE listening today, this is a treasure trove for you because the people in your parish are getting confused by all of these things. And I can't give you a percentage. I don't know how many people are sitting in your pews that are involved in these kinds of things. But I do know from the number of questions that we get on the air here that there's a lot of people in parishes, a good percentage, not a small, not a marginal number, but a good percentage of people that are involved in all of these kinds of things. And people do not understand that you cannot combine these practices, you know, with their Catholic faith. People think, well, everything is a big mishmash and I can just kind of like, well, I can do yoga and I can do this and I, you know, and it's okay for me to go see a psychic and I can have my tarot cards read and, you know, I can do a Ouija board and I can look at horoscopes and I can subscribe to astrology. They don't realize that this is all an abomination before the Lord. So it's very important, you know, and this is a great resource for you. So go out there and check it out. It's womenofgrace.com under library, Grace Under Fire, and then the New Age blog, which you can click right on the homepage. And you can even do a search there on a given topic. And all of the articles that Sue has written in that blog will pop up for you there. It's really important. So listen, we have Vanessa with us from North Carolina, and she called, I don't know if it was earlier in the week or if it was last week, and I asked her to call back on Wednesday, and which is today, because she's got a very, very important question to ask, and I know it's one that you have a lot of insight and information about. So even before we get to the topic of the day, which we will get to at some point in time, but the phone lines are already lighting up. We have two available for you, friends, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, encouraging you to call in so we can get to you. Also, you can use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, and Jeff Burson will retrieve it and get it up on the board. Matt Kabensky's on the phones. Let's go to Vanessa right away. Hey, Vanessa, how are you?
Hi, Zona. How are you? I'm great. Love the show, and I'm so excited to be able to talk to you and Sue. Thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. And so, you know, I want you to just dive into this question so that we can get an answer for you, because this is, you're in a pickle. You're in a pickle, girlfriend.
Yeah. We are, my entire family, and I've been really looking forward to this show to be able to talk with you both a little bit about this. So to get right into it, my cousin is getting married, and the person who is officiating her wedding is her stepfather. He's married into the family civilly to my aunt. And he is a retired doctor. He's very well known in the community. He volunteers for environmental, all kinds of stuff. He's very into Kundalini yoga and different types of yoga, the extent I'm not honestly sure. And his wife, my aunt, is calling herself now a seeker. And I'm not sure exactly what that means. She's starting to dress different, too. And her daughters, my cousins, are following suit to this lifestyle. And it's been made apparent to me that he's really turning into some sort of leader or teacher. And it's affecting my family, my extended family, greatly. My cousin is going to get married. This man is going to officiate this wedding. And I'm not sure that the wedding in and of itself is Buddhist, okay? Like, he might just be doing it as, like, a notary. But his lifestyle and how he has infiltrated my family, the close proximity to this yoga and everything, has been really made apparent to me and to other family members. So I have some Catholic extended family who believe that they should attend the wedding, because that would be the lesser of two evils to keep the peace in the family. And then we have the other half of the family who is like, no, you cannot attend this wedding. It would be wrong. It would be sinful. So I was just wondering if your thoughts on that, if a Catholic should attend this wedding, And the family members, I'll leave it at this, the family members that are attending the wedding that are Catholic are saying that this is a gesture of love, that we love this person in our family, and we want to go and attend this wedding out of love.
So, Sue, why don't you explain to our caller, Vanessa, what Kundalini yoga is, and then you can share what your thoughts are about this dilemma.
Kundalini yoga is probably the most dangerous type of yoga to get involved in. It's both spiritually but also physically, because it involves what's known as a Kundalini awakening. And what yogis believe is that you arouse this Kundalini, this Shakti, or creative divine energy, which supposedly sleeps in the form of a coiled snake at the base of the spine. And what they believe is that you, through pranayama, which is different breathing exercises and visualization and the poses, the mudras, you begin to awaken this snake, and it rises. And when it rises, the door, the Shushumna, that's like an energy conduit, it opens up, and the Kundalini, the snake, then ascends through the Shaktis, the six energy centers, until it reaches the crown chakra at the top of the head. And when it reaches that, you become united with Lord Shiva, which is a Hindu god. He's the god of destruction, and his consort is the Shakti. And this union brings about, like, the joy of blissful beatitude. Now, it all sounds like, okay, well, this is just a bunch of, you know, Hindu stuff, but there's a lot of physical things that happen with you, side effects, for people who have undergone this awakening, and awakening whatever this energy thing is that they believe is hiding in the body. Involuntary jerks, tremors, shaking, itching, tingling, energy rushes, heart palpitations, visions, depression, pressure inside the skull, severe headaches, involuntary suspension of your breath. The spiritual manifestations from this are even worse. Now, a lot of that is probably because it's having some effect on the endocrine glands. It has, you know, that's really where that's all coming from. But people who have experienced awakening have testified to very terrifying experiences, such as being visited by spirits, they first appear to be very friendly, and then they become hostile and abusive. And I've written about stories. I have a blog on Kundalini Yoga on our website that talks about particular cases where these dear people had the Kundalini awakening and they couldn't shut it off. They couldn't come back to normal. And this one woman went from doctor to doctor to doctor seeking help, and nobody could help her. No one could help her. So some of these practices, such as this one, stimulate major endocrine glands and nerve bundles, and they happen to be located very near the position of these alleged chakras. The chakras don't exist because that's based on an energy that is not scientifically supported. So, but the endocrine system, that's a series endocrine system, that's a system of glands which secrete hormones into the bloodstream. So, you know, hormones, that they're very, very powerful. They have a lot to do with everything that's going on in your body. And to be fooling around with this is very dangerous. They shouldn't be getting involved in it at all. As far as the seeking is concerned, there is a type of yoga called...
Okay, we lost you for a second there. There is a type of yoga called...
There is a type called the Seeker Yoga School. There is a type of yoga that does have to do with seeking. I would want to look a little bit more into the seekers to see what else is involved in that particular movement. But as far as attending a wedding, if these people are Catholic who are getting married, are they Catholic?
Well, my one cousin was baptized Catholic, but I would say she's no longer practicing. I'm not 100% sure on that. Now, my extended family, that some of them that want to attend, are definitely practicing Catholic.
Yeah, yeah. I would not recommend that they attend that particular wedding.
Yeah.
I would not recommend that at all.
Yeah.
Because of what that teacher is involved in, and all the seeking and that sort of thing that we're talking about. Boy, the seeking, that's a loaded word. That can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Seeking, you know, all kinds of powers and enlightenment and that sort of thing. So I would not recommend that a practicing Catholic get involved in that particular ceremony. There's other ways that you could show your love and affection and caring for these people than, you know, being expected to violate your own religious beliefs. So...
And I think that the other side of that, Sue, too, is the fact that when we attend a wedding, you know, I don't think that people really think about this. I know I never thought about this, but I was made to understand that the maid or matron of honor and the best man are representative of all of the individuals that are there. And so all of those individuals that come to a wedding are actually witnessing the wedding and witnessing it, meaning that we give testimony to this. This is a good thing. And so I don't know how it would be possible for a Catholic to attend a wedding like this and say, we approve of what's going on here. Now, sometimes people are very surprised. You know, they go to a wedding, they think the wedding is going to be something, one thing, and then it turns out to be something completely different, and they're horrified by the fact that they basically didn't understand what was taking place. But in this case, there's full knowledge of this, and there's no attempt to, you know, veil what it is that they are about here. And, you know, I totally agree with the fact that I think that it is a repudiation of the faith just to be there to witness it. And I feel badly. I feel badly for this girl that's getting married. You know, she obviously wants to, make this day very special for everybody. And she thinks perhaps this is one way that she can do it with regard to her stepfather. But again, this shows you how confused people are, Sue, because here this man is a medical doctor, right? And there is no snake at the base of the spine. It's not going to show up on any x-ray or MRI or anything else. It doesn't exist. There are no chakras. There are no energy wheels in the body. They don't show up. The energy that you're talking about here is not verifiable energy. This is putative energy. It's never been, you can't quantify it or qualify it. There's no reality to it. It's a false belief system. And to be able to be swayed by something like this when you've been trained in the scientific method, it boggles my mind how easily we can become enticed and how easily we can wander off to fables because we hear things, some aspect of which we find to be enticing or interesting or beneficial in the sense of it appeals to us on some level.
That's right. That's right. And then people get really, they get sucked into it. And it's a sign of the times that we're living in right now. In fact, that was a scripture that was read at a mass, I think maybe 3 or 4 days ago now. And it was that, you know, my people are being led astray by, you know, fancy speakers. I mean, I'm paranoid. I'm paraphrasing right. It now, but, you know, by these different people who are leading them into myths and legends, mm-hmm. Because they're looking for things that tickle their fancy. They're not really for the truth anymore. They're just looking for things that make them feel good and feel good about themselves. And so they're not really pursuing religion, so to speak, anymore. They're pursuing spirituality. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of going backward into that time of the transcendentalists, you know, where, hey, I can determine my spirituality by what I feel. I don't need to have any mainstream religion giving me their dogmas, you know, that sort of thing. So they're kind of forsaking truth. They don't want truth anymore. Unless it agrees with them and makes them feel good about themselves. So it's very dangerous. And I that family needs a lot of prayer. They need a lot of prayer. They're kind of being, they're seeking, but seeking can be a dangerous thing. I often tell people, hey, if you have a relative who's seeking, that means that there's some opening in their heart somewhere, and that perhaps, you know, the hound of heaven, who was our Jesus, could reach them. That's how he reached me, because I had an opening somewhere, and I was seeking, and he got in there, and he got his message across to me, and I started listening to him again. And so that's one side of it, but seeking can also go the dark route and lead you into things that are going to leave you probably permanently damaged, especially if you wander into the occult.
So I hope that helps you, Vanessa, you know, and I know that it's difficult, and I know it's a hard stand to take, but, you know, we need to be witnesses today, and through our witness to be teaching people in the way in which they should go according to the truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. As we go to our break, let me just read this to you very, very quickly from Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I repeat the request I made to you when I was on my way to Macedonia, that you stay in Ephesus to instruct certain people not to teach false doctrines or to concern themselves with myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the plan of God that is to be received. The aim of this instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So our motivation in sharing is to be loving them enough to speak the truth. We're going to be right back. More on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everybody. Here we are. It's Women of Grace Live. We're into the second half of our program today. It's Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is with us. We're eager to hear from you. We've got one line currently available. We invite you to occupy that line with your question or comment. Here we go. The toll-free number for you right here in North America is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to join us live here today with the one and the only, the incredible and knowledgeable Sue Brinkman.
Embarrassed.
It's a wacky Wednesday. We could be a little wacky
for sure.
We're talking about wacky things today. Oh my goodness. That was a great answer, by the way, Sue, to Vanessa, and I hope that she's able to share that with her family. Just want you to know that we do archive these radio programs. They are available for you out there at EWTN.com, but they're also available for you on our website, womenofgrace.com. The show won't be up immediately following the program, but it will be up there, so you can always share these with family and friends. But as I told you, we've got the Grace Under Fire podcast that is in our library. Just click on the library, the word library in the nav bar. It's going to take you there. It's the first one in there, and you'll see that, and you'll see everything else we've got to offer you there too. And the New Age blog, you access that right on the homepage. Just click on New Age Questions and Answers, New Age Q&A, and it'll take you out there and you can do a search. Let's get to Sarah. She is in San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you so much for asking. I just had a really quick comment, not really a question.
Okay.
I'm 35 weeks pregnant. Now I'm due in about 28 days, but nobody's counting. It's 110 degrees down here.
Oh, dear me. God bless you, sweetie.
So, Thank you. My the father of this child is an incredibly opposed to my carrying this baby to term. Let's put it that way. I don't want to start crying on the air, but I have limited, for my own sake and for the sake of decorum, our interactions over the past couple months. I've seen him in person maybe 3 times and maybe like checked in every month, maybe by text message. Anyway, as of Sunday, I went over to his house, and his biggest opposition was his lack of support in what his father would think. He lost his mother about a year ago.
Mm.
All that said, he came back to me on Monday and said he told his father finally. He was determined prior to this conversation to never until the day his father died tell him that he would have a grandchild.
Oh, dear.
It was incredibly hard. That being said, he came back to me Monday and said, I told my father I have a lot of scared feelings. And I'm like, if you're not scared, you're not doing it right, dude. There it is. Everybody who approaches parenthood is scared, and it's hard. It's not meant to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would want to do it, you know? But I really just wanted to share that and say thank you for all of the the way y'all pray for me as a community, like without even knowing my name, has been incredibly like heartfelt and touching, and I just wanted to mention that.
Oh, Sarah. Aww. Well, you know, it's our pleasure to pray on the air here when people call in with very difficult situations or prayer requests for loved ones or for themselves. And it's just one of the ways that we stand together as the mystical body of Christ and lift each other up in these times of needs. And, you know, I always marvel at the fact that when Jesus began his public ministry, what was the first thing he did? He drew together a community of individuals. He didn't need the community. He was already in communion with the Holy Spirit and the Father. But the individuals would need that community to support each other in the times of trial that would come. And we're going to continue to pray for you and continue to pray for this this gentleman's conversion of heart. And continue, you know, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to give you wisdom and knowledge as you navigate this reality of having the baby and then having a somewhat, what do I want to say, ambivalent response from the Father. You know, one day it's good, one day it's not good. You know, let's pray that this change of heart is a lasting one, but let's pray that it's a sincere one as well. And so I just know that I'll be talking. I haven't prayed my rosary yet today, which is unusual. I usually have by this time, but I had some delays this morning, and you will be tucked into my rosary today, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And God bless you. And hey, let us know when your little baby comes, okay?
I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Very courageous of that young man to confront his feelings the way he did.
It
and
is.
Face his fears on, and you know, in order to do the right thing. So yeah, I definitely will be keeping both of them in my prayers for certain. And I really felt that this young man, that was kind of a saving grace moment for me, that, you know what, he's starting to come around, and I think that's really good. Pretty soon he's going to have a little child, and who knows what that will do to him, because you know what children do. Children have a way of bringing us to God and bringing us back to our roots and back to who we are, and I think it might turn out to be an all-around good experience for both of them, so I will definitely continue to pray.
Yeah, we'll pray for sincerity of heart for him and, mm-hmm. and for that conversion to go on, and also for, you know, the coming weeks left before this little one comes into the world. Always a gift from God. Let's go to Gil. Gil is in New York, and he's one of our good guys out there. Hey Gil, how are you?
Praise the Lord. Happy Sheep Day on Wednesday.
Happy Sheep Day to you.
I send you and Sue a big electronic sheep hug always, and I've seen her on TV also, and my mom still watches your program every day.
Oh, I'm glad, Gil. That makes me glad.
Even though she's got dementia, yes. I have a question in relation to the I want, like, if you could speak about the alternative as opposed to yoga, which is unhealthy. I just have 3 verses I wanted to share in light of healthy meditation, and then you could respond to it. One of them is Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." That would be one. And the other is Isaiah 26:3, which says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And the other last one is, let me see, Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I was wondering if you could talk about healthy breathing as opposed to yoga, which is stepping into the occult and everything else that's dangerous, and I'm opposed to it, even though they do it in my program here in the Bronx. I don't participate in it.
So listen, Gil, very quickly, give us those passages again. I want to write them down.
Oh, Isaiah 26:3, I'm quoting, I think, from King James. I'm trying to memorize. Isaiah 26:3, Matthew 11:28, and Psalm 46:10. Yes.
Psalm, what was the number on the Psalm?
46:10.
Yeah, I know that one.
Be still and know that I am God. I'm sure you do. Yes.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Those are great verses. Sue, how do you respond to our buddy boy here?
Well, first of all, they're all beautiful, especially that Psalm, be still and know that I am God, because that's Carmel right there in a nutshell. I always said, be still, quiet, solitude, silence, and know who God is, who your God is. I love all of them as far as, you know, what you were saying about what is the good kind, types of breathing and that, what are, you know, different alternatives or that to yoga. And there's plenty of them out there. Diaphragmatic breathing, there's nothing wrong with that. Learning how to breathe properly, there's nothing wrong with that. Is when you get into that breathing and you're starting to try to blank your mind, or you're using mantras and invoking Hindu gods, that's when you start to get yourself into trouble. You don't need to do that to learn how to breathe properly and to get better oxygenation in your blood. And there's also different programs that you can try other than yoga for these things. And one of them is Eccentrics. I've done that one. That is no yoga in it. Soul Core is another one, that one you will actually be praying while you're doing very difficult core exercises. So I'm warning you, Gil, it's not an easy one. That one will make you sweat if you start to do that, those exercises. But no, they're all very beautiful. That we keep in peace those who keep their mind on the Lord. And I think, you know, from Isaiah, and yes, that is, when we stay focused on God, we have peace in our lives in spite of all the dark stuff that might be happening to us and all around us. When we keep our focus on Jesus, it just has a way of calming everything down and telling us, you know what, there's someone greater than me, he's in charge, and he's got this.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sue. And thank you, Gil, for those verses. And, you know, friends, I'll repeat them for you again. Psalm 46:10, Isaiah 26:3, and Matthew 11:28. Those are good verses to look at. One thing that differentiates a Christian yoga from that which is not good is that we always engage the faculties of the soul. So we don't run away from you know, the emotions that rise up. We don't run away from, the imagination, the use of the imagination in these things. We're not trying to blank the mind, as Sue said. We're trying to let God use all of the reality in our life, including the aspects of the soul, the faculties of the soul, to make known his will and to lead us and to guide us and to teach us and to instruct us in his ways. So we don't try to empty out. We try to become infilled. So,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
Yep, so there you have it. Thank you, Gil. I want to move on here. We want to get to, let's see who is ready for us. Joan up in Simpsonville, South Carolina is with us. Let's get to Joan. How are you, Joan?
I am well. Thank you so much. Thank you. I listen to you and Susan every Wednesday that I can, and I really appreciate all that you do.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So what is your question?
Oh, I am a nurse manager. I'm a registered nurse, and I'm a manager in a large hospital system. And when we have team meetings, you know, like a Zoom meeting or a Teams meeting, there's always a prayer prior to, and the prayers that are used most of the time are what they always say, let's center ourselves, or let's do a centering prayer. And when I do mine, I just say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I begin my prayer. My question is, where did this centering prayer stuff come from, and why do they do it?
That's a good question, Joan. Go ahead, Sue.
Oh, centering prayer has a long and very shady history to it, as a matter of fact. Father Thomas Keating is one of the creators of it. Was he a Trappist? He was a Trappist monk, mm-hmm. I believe. Up at St. Joseph's Abbey, up in I think Connecticut is where that was. And he was very much involved in that era right after Vatican II with the ecumenism, and they were meeting with Zen masters and Buddhists and that sort of thing. They were bringing them actually into their abbey, and they were learning things from them. And they decided that they were going to meld some of this Eastern prayer into Christian prayer to try to lure Christians back who were floating into Eastern type prayer. This is during the time of, you know, Ravi Shankar and George Harrison and that sort of thing. It was very big back then, transcendental meditation and that sort of thing. And that's where centering prayer originated. What he did to it, though, he tried to Christianize it. Instead of using Hindu mantras, they would just use the name of Jesus. The problem with that is that it was really putting a Band-Aid on it. If you're using the name of Jesus, a sacred name, to do the same thing that you would be doing if you were using the name of a Hindu god to blank your mind, you're still essentially doing the same thing, okay? You're blanking the mind. That's not Christian prayer. Christian prayer involves all of you, mind, body, and soul, and it is not meant to be, the mind is not meant to be blank. That's just not what we do. We read in the first psalm, I think, first or second psalm, that we meditate on the law of the Lord night and day, and this is what we're supposed to be doing, not blanking our mind. And plus, Christian prayer is always a dialogue with God. So how are you having a dialogue if you're just sitting there reciting Jesus' name, but never really getting around to talking to him? You're just saying his name over and over and over again to blank your thoughts and to push away any impressions that you might be getting in prayer. So centering prayer is controversial. It's also very big. And there's a large fraction of people out there who believe that that's authentic Catholic contemplation, and it is not. It is not the kind of contemplation taught by Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross. Not at all. It's very much based in Hinduism and in Eastern religious practices. So I tell people not to get involved in it.
Well, I tell them the same thing, you know, and I wrote a book on the New Age. It's called The New Age Counterfeit, and there's a whole chapter in there on centering prayer, and we go into a lot of detail about it, and sometimes people will say, well, I want to center. And they're not necessarily talking about centering prayer, which tries to blank the mind and leaves you completely open to any kind of intimation by a spirit other than God. You're not even supposed to examine what's coming in, which is very dangerous, since St. John tells us in his epistle to test every spirit. You can't test a spirit and be trying to stop your mind from going through the process of testing the spirit. You know, it's contraindicative. But I think that, you know, when some people say centering, what they really mean is something, Sue, that you know from Carmelite spirituality, which is recollection. And that's a completely different thing. And recollection is just trying to come into the presence of the Lord, to let go of the distractions around you and all of the work that you have in the future, and just to be present to the moment and the grace of the present moment. That doesn't require mind blanking. That requires a unity of heart with the heart of God, you know. So when they say centering, it would be good, Joan, just ask, you know, just out of curiosity, what do you mean by that? Help me to understand what you're saying here. And they'll be happy to tell you. But the centering prayer most typically is in relation to trying to take transcendental meditation, put a Christian dress on it, and call it prayer. It's not.
Okay. Well, I appreciate those answers. Thank you.
Okay, Joan, thank you so much for your question. That keeps coming up, Sue. I mean, this is a long time, and I know that centering prayer is very big in some, you know, female religious orders and, you know, in a lot of Catholic retreat houses. So we have to be very, very careful when we sign up for retreats that we know that we're signing up for something that's in complete unity with the teachings of the Catholic Church and Sacred Scripture. Let's get to Melissa out there in Topeka, Kansas. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Jeanette and Susan, how are you today?
Good, you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Hey, I have a couple comments that I heard the callers, they called in, and I wanted to add something to that, if I could. And then I had a question for you. I got this the other day in a message, texting. I said, I'll be praying for you. And they sent back, I'm sending positive vibes your way. Now, is that a hidden way for the energy to get through, or am I just thinking too much about it? And then I have a couple of comments after you answer that. I really have to tell, is it Dill, your friend Dill?
Oh, Gil with a G.
Gil, I'm sorry, Gil. I want to tell him something because I think it could really help him.
Okay.
to look up the Bible verses in the Catholic website. Do not go by the King James Version, because that's another sneaky way in. They word it differently, and they leave some of the words out, and then they like gird up your loins of your mind instead of just gird up your mind in prayer. They confuse you, and you start thinking, wait a minute, did I just read that? And that's a sneaky way in. And then also on the shuttle bus on our way to the hospital one time, I read the sign out front, and it said, only God is real. And I thought that was unique. It was a neat message to read when you're on your way to see your loved one.
Yeah. So, Melissa, just for an FYI for you, Gil is not yet Catholic. And the King James Version of the Bible is it's a translation. Excuse me. The biggest difference between a Catholic Bible and a Protestant Bible has to do with the inclusion of the Deuterocanonical texts. That's the biggest difference.
Okay.
But even with Catholic Bibles, if you read... Yeah, and if you read one Catholic Bible versus another Catholic Bible, you're going to get slightly different wording, and that just really has to do with the translation. So, you know, and it's important to also know that Gil is blind, so he has just about, in my estimation, the entire Bible memorized. He just pulls these passages out.
That is quite amazing.
It is.
It is. He told me that, and I didn't know that.
Well, that's all right. Well, but I do appreciate the fact that you want to help us to stay on the right track. So let's have Sue answer your question about positive vibes. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah. They do believe that they are sending you positive energy. And what they're talking about now, this energy is putative energy now. Chi, ki, prana, vital force. That's what they think they're sending you. I actually found a place once. You're going to laugh at this. But they offer you free virtual cyber hugs.
Oh, geez,
and they'll tell you, we will mentally surround you with a warm, positive, loving energy to lift your spirits. I mean, I'll tell you, they'll make money off everything, won't they? But anyway, people do believe that they can send these visible rays, this invisible energy, that they can actually send it out to people at a distance. You know what? It's a nice thought. It's a nice thought, but there's no basis in reality for it. Just tell the person you're thinking about them and hoping, wishing well for them. The whole energy thing is just a gimmick. It's just a gimmick. And then there's no such thing as that energy. They think that it's a vibration of some sort, and they can send that to you. And it's just all a bunch of New Age fanciful fairy tale stuff. That's what I say about it. The longer I'm in this business, the more I say, the New Age is just nothing but a great big generator of fairy tales. They come up with stuff, and they just put it out there, and they say, this is true because I want it to be true, because it feels good, so it's true. It's not. There is no chi or ki or prana, and they can't send you an energy that doesn't exist in the first place. So,
and I think that one of the things, I think that one of
the
deals out there too is that these phrases have become popularized in the culture, and sometimes they're just used, and the person doesn't even know what they're talking about when they say it. It's just something that they've heard and glommed onto, or you could just send back the person and say, well, thank you. Instead of the positive vibes, I would prefer that you would say a prayer to Jesus for me.
That's a good idea.
So I hope that helps you, Melissa, and thanks for your call today. I want to try to squeeze Mark from Twin Falls, Idaho in today. He's listening to us via Salt and Light Radio. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Just fine. Good to talk to you, Jeanette.
Well, thank you. Good to talk to you, too.
And Sue, So I lived in Taiwan for over 30 years, and so I had some exposure to acupuncture, and that's one of those topics that you mentioned in your promo about your Wednesdays with Sue, but I've never heard any comments in the programs that I've listened to on what the problems are with acupuncture and the cautions and that sort of thing, so if Sue could address that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. We'll get right to it. We have talked about it, but we don't talk about it all of the time. Again, I refer you out there to the New Age Q&A blog, because Sue has a lot of articles on that, and I'm sure she's probably got something under Grace Under Fire podcast. But go ahead, Sue. We've got 90 minutes left for you to respond to Mark.
Yeah, that is a form of traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture is. It's based on the concept of balancing energy that enters the body through meridians, 14 different channels through the body. Now, we just got done saying from the former caller that that energy doesn't exist, so the meridians don't either, but they believe it does, and they use a needle at certain points along those meridians to control different diseases or different aspects or different problems, extra pains in the body. And it's not been proven scientifically ever. Acupuncture hasn't. It's actually, when people say that they feel better after getting an acupuncture, that's because of the physical reaction to that the skin and the body makes to being pricked by a needle, which is releasing of pain-reducing endorphins and other chemicals into the body. That's why you feel better after you go there. It has nothing to do with meridians, because the meridians don't exist. Okay, the energy doesn't exist, the meridians don't exist. So they're trying to balance the yin and yang, you know, but there is no such thing as that. So, but acupuncture can make you feel better when you prick your finger, as I said. We know so that. We've studied that.
We've got to leave it there. We have to leave it there. I'm so sorry. We're okay, right at the end. God bless you all. Bye-bye.